The Roundtable Podcast is brought to you by Burke Financial, offering homeowners personalized mortgage solutions. For one-hour approvals and fast funding, visit burkefinancial.ca. Brokerage license 13111. Time to feel the rush of the Roundtable, live on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Welcome to it. This is the Roundtable for Friday, the 23rd of July, brought to you by Burke Financial, offering homeowners personalized mortgage solutions for approvals in as little as an hour and fast funding. Visit burkefinancial.ca, brokerage license 13111. Joining us, former Liberal MP, senior advisor at Queen's University, and author Selena Caesar Chavon. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm excellent. Thank you so much for asking. Tis Friday, after all. Partner at Upstream Strategy as well. Chris Chapin is here. I don't need to tell this guy. How are you, buddy?
Good. How are you guys?
We're doing very well. Thanks for being here, guys.
So, guys, you just heard the mayor, I'm sure, talk a little bit about what I will use, not his language, around a little bit of hypocrisy from some of his city councilors, colleagues, in what's happened this week in, the mayor pointed out, actually three situations where we saw city workers move in two situations supported by police to help close down the encampments that we've seen pop up in the last number of months throughout this city. So I'll start with you, Selena. Is this actually hypocrisy, or are the councillors legitimate in their criticisms after what we saw this week, in particular at the park near Lamport Stadium?
So, I think blame could go around everywhere with what we saw. Oh, don't know what that was. But we know that most of these individuals have opioid crisis, addiction, mental health issues. These people are not going to respond well to police presence or force because they've likely experienced tremendous violence already in their life. They need help to address root causes, mental health strategies, et cetera. So, I mean, I don't know where the hypocrisy is to lie. I think if we go in summer after summer knowing that we're going to get these encampments, that people need this help, that there should be a better strategy around intervention, around mental health supports, around sanctioned camping areas or no barrier housing. But whatever we do, if Toronto is going to be a sanctuary city, it needs to extend that compassion to everyone, especially our homeless and most vulnerable.
So, Chris, I mean, most of the interactions that we've seen, most of the altercations that we saw were not with the homeless, were not with the people who had been residing in the park. It was with protesters who came out to protest this.
Yeah, well, most people, I don't think, realize how much of the, I don't want to call it an industry when it comes into the kind of the poverty activism, but there's certainly, you know, a well-funded group of folks that are there to, you know, cause disturbances. And in this case, that was to cause a scene, and that they accomplished what they wanted to do. I think, you know, to your kind of original comment, Deb, about the hypocrisy of it, a lot of these councillors on city council, especially in the downtown core, have totally been talking out of both sides of their mouth. Certainly in private, they've been feeling the pressure from homeowners and residents that, you know, where these parks back onto, beyond frustrated with what's taking place. And we're encouraging people behind the scenes to, you know, shut these parks down. But the second it becomes an issue on the kind of the progressive left in Toronto about, you know, whether these encampments should be allowed, all of a sudden they become quite vocal and say, you know, we should have never let the police in. We should have never taken these tents down, even though behind the scenes they were calling for just that.
You know what, Selena, I'll ask a follow-up question. You know, when we talk about these encampment teardowns, and we talk about the tens of thousands of visits that we have by first responders in our city, you know, at what point are we gonna look at the bill from all of this and realize that we're doing this all wrong?
Yeah, so you know what, I actually had more to my answer, but I'm very cognizant of time. And yes, what I'm probably asking for with intervention strategies and mental health and, you know, sanctioned areas, et cetera, takes time and resources, but it'll likely add up to the same time and resources required to get the police involved. I just think we need to be a little bit more strategic. Look at what other jurisdictions are doing. BC Housing has used all kinds of levels of engagement and interaction. I just think we just need to be a little bit more thoughtful when we are innovative around this homelessness issue, because it happens year after year.
Sure. story out of Florida today where they're proposing a House bill where it would be second-degree misdemeanor, a charge for anyone who's hindering law enforcement officers as they carry out their duties. And that, what strikes out us from that, is it could also include taking cell phone video if law enforcement believes that recording is interfering with the ability to do their job. People could be charged if they seek to interrupt, disrupt, hinder, impede, or interfere with officers performing their duties, provoking physical responses from the officers, or out-and-out harassment. And when you hear a law like that even being proposed in Florida, Chris, you know, it's pause for concern considering that's the type of thing that we see in our city as well. We're certainly out there filming too.
Yeah, I think there's a balance that should be struck. I actually, you know, I think, you know, the second I hear this story and read about it earlier today, the first thing my mind darted to was just the incident a couple days ago with the jerk that interrupted the mayor out for dinner with his wife. And, you know, he's, you know, all of a sudden a self-proclaimed reporter because he's got a cell phone in his hand. And I do think there's that same element where there's a barrier of just because you can record something nowadays doesn't make you the news, doesn't make you a journalist. It doesn't make you a broadcaster, even though the device itself does. So I think there is a limit there where, when you think back to incidents maybe 10, 15 years ago, where you remember these kind of vivid scenes of where the press was backed up and, you know, the police were continuing to back them up because there was an active incident going on. The media never, you know, was offended by that. I certainly never took, you know, watching the news. So I do think there is a barrier where, like, you know, when we're looking at this, there should, I think, be a certain limit. It should never prevent people from recording wrongdoing by the police in this case, but I think they do need that space to be able to do their job. And I think sometimes nowadays we feel so much more comfortable interfering with it because we're on the scene and you've got a camera and you can record and you can go live.
Do you think, Selena, this could be a case, bringing it back to Toronto, where if we had a clear set of guidelines as laid out by TPS, we would just follow the rules, say it was a 6-foot rule, or you can't impede their path, or you cannot be verbal, but you can film? Is that the key?
So I don't know if that's necessarily the key, because there is already issues with over-policing when it comes to various different communities, Black and Indigenous communities. So I don't know if that's the key. What is the level of harassment? Is, you know, how far does this go? I think that there's so much gray area when we talk about putting, you know, these rules in, that you could end up having more people getting charged or arrested or fined when they are not necessarily impacting the rules as much as others. I do agree with Chris, though, that they should never be impeding investigations or interfering with work.
So after some consultation and some outreach, the Cleveland Indians have announced their new name, coming in 2022, the Cleveland Guardians. Did they get it right, Chris?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, like, the names are so arbitrary when you take a step back and you think about teams that have existed for 40 and 50 years. You know, the New York Rangers in hockey, what makes the Rangers in New York? You know, you can go down the list of them. So I think they did the right thing by changing the name. It was, you know, and they did it well. You know, there was so little confrontation about it. You know, it's not this classic from 10, 15 years ago, head stuck in the sand. I thought the video with Tom Hanks and the Black Keys was a good way to kind of put it out there softly. And
let's stop you right there. Chris, let me stop you right there. You were almost finished anyways, and I apologize because we do have some of that video. This is the Black Keys and Tom Hanks.
As we move forward with change, you see, it has always been Cleveland that's the best part of our name. And now it's time to unite as one family, one community, to build the next era for this team and this city, to keep watch and guard what makes this game the greatest. To come together and welcome all who want to join us. We are loyal and proud and resilient. We protect what we've earned.
So
always defend it.
Let me jump in, and, you know, I'll ask a question for you, Deb, as well, and then we can bring Selena in on this. You know, I've been talking about how great it is that they did that, how wonderful it was to have Tom Hanks and the Black Keys, two entertainers that I really enjoy. But at the same time, the more I hear it, the more I realize inside of that promotional video, there was really no nod to why they changed the name anyways.
No.
Is that a glaring omission or not?
But that's not unusual in a rebrand. Not unusual at all, right? You're moving on, you're moving forward, you're leaving the past behind. They did talk a lot about their consultations. And I think the nod in Hank's comments was one city united.
Selena?
one city united, but at the same time, I think they missed an opportunity here to as the why. The why is the critically important piece, and it would have been inspiring to know that the city stood together because this was something that they knew they had to right a wrong. And although it's great, I just think that it was a miss, because we can't forget history.
But did you think they got the name right?
No, as long as they changed the name from what
it was.
From the Redskins, I'm good with it.
Right. The Cleveland Rhododendrons would have been just fine. This is a story we talked about earlier in the show, got a lot of reaction. The city of Toronto saying that they will try and do more to reduce excessive noise from speeding vehicles and loud motorcycles. Vehicles with deafeningly loud engines can regularly be heard roaring down the streets of the city. And, you know, Chris, I'll start with you. We opened up the phones in this one, and there probably wasn't a corner of the GTA that doesn't feel like they're being affected by this type of thing. So when they put in these test sort of markets that they're going to do based on complaints, where they're going to start doing some enforcement, I don't think you're going to have a lot of complaints unless you're on the other end of the ticket.
I love this. It's so annoying. I mean, I live right downtown and up in Yorkville. It's feels like you can't sit out on your balcony without hearing some guy revving his engine in his car or his motorcycle. Absolutely no purpose whatsoever other than to be a show off. So, you know, there is an element of everybody's ability to enjoy the city, and this has gone on for too long, and I'm certainly happy to see it finally just starting to take some action on this.
Selena?
The only thing I'd add is they should, like, do that in Whitby. So if Mayor Mitchell, if you're listening, just bring that same out here.
great point. A little plug for the city, and let's get something done.
So earlier today, Jay and I also talked about people's weird fears. Jimmy Fallon did a whole series of them where he asked his listeners, his viewers to do them. Let's hear a couple of them.
This one's from at Cassie Miller. She says, when I have to pop open one of those Pillsbury biscuit tubes, I'm so afraid they'll explode that I find the longest spoon I can, stand really far away, and whack at it. It's like, I do the same thing. First one's from at Mr. K-Dub. He says, I've always been afraid of birds flying indoors. Outside is fine. Inside, they only have one place to go. Beak first into my eyes.
Selena, I'm going to start with you. Any weird fears at your end?
Yeah, I have a plasmomusophobia, but I cannot live without the thing that causes it, and it's a fear of champagne corks.
Oh, cork fear.
It's a cork fear. I drink that is my preferred drink. So it's a fear, but it's also an addiction. So I don't know if that actually cancels out the fear or not.
I would say it's a more sophisticated version of the Pillsbury popping tube.
There you go.
Isn't it
yeah.
similar?
It might be similar, but I don't know, because I'm addicted to it too, so I don't know.
Chris, what about you? Any weird fears?
I don't think I have any fears, but I didn't even know that was a fear, Selena. As somebody who's popped a champagne cork off of his eyebrow before and cut it open, now I'm starting to think I'm scared myself. So I hope that didn't add any more fear to your already pre-existing fear of the champagne cork. But
you know, approximately 24 people die annually from champagne cork. Like, this is serious fear.
Clearly, because Selena looked it up.
I do my homework for the show better than
yeah I appreciate that.
It's a true epidemic.
And Chris, we thank you both for your time. Hope you have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you.
Okay, have a good one. That'll wrap things up for us. Deb and myself back Monday at 2. Until then, Deb, I hope you have an amazing weekend.
You too. Enjoy your outdoor barbecue and your socializing,
and safe trip with your daughters going to camp.
Thank you.
I'll pass you some Kleenex through the Zoom. You're probably going to need that.
See you Monday.
See you on Monday. Our thanks as well to the mics. My thanks to Drew. My thanks to you. Our thanks to you for even spending just a couple of minutes of your day with us. It means a lot. Your CTV Evening News is next.
The Roundtable Podcast was brought to you by Burke Financial, offering homeowners personalized mortgage solutions. For 1-hour approvals and fast funding, visit burkefinancial.ca. Brokerage license 13111.